that? Nothing, huh? Well, that's all. Okay. Now, do you know how to do a blank slide? Is there somebody up there? All right, Chris is up there. Chris will figure it out. Chris will program it if it doesn't do it. There we go. Look at this. Okay, so try that. There we go. Look at that. I can write. All right, what is this word? Happy. What does happy mean? Okay. No, it's something, the YouTube or something stream is playing in the background, so we're getting little echoes of me talking in case somebody didn't hear it the first time. I think it's great. I think it's great. I often think, that was really good. Say that again. And then there it comes through the speaker. Yeah, what does happy mean? When you're playing and you're happy. I like that. Yeah, Issa, what do you think? Yeah, when you play at the park, you're happy? Yeah, yes, ma'am.
If you just have fun.
If you have fun, yeah. David?
Joy.
Joy? Okay, well, let's talk about that. Yes, ma'am.
Full of joy.
Full of joy? Okay, yes, sir. Okay, go ahead, Daniel.
So, when I play at the school, I make a snowman.
You play at the school, you make a snowman?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That sounds like a pretty happy day. Yes, Annabelle. A smiling face? Yeah, I like that a lot. All right, Thomas?
Joy?
Okay, Anastasia?
I'm really happy when Annabelle got baptized.
Really happy when Annabelle got baptized? Yeah, that's really good. So I want to say, yes, Liam, I'm sorry. When Jesus died on the cross, that made you happy? Yeah? When he rose again, that made you happy especially? Yeah? All right, so several of you said joy. And what I want to say this morning is that joy and happiness are a little bit different. Happy, that first part of the word happy, hap. Can you think of another word that starts with hap?
Happidust.
All right. I like that, bud. Good. Does somebody else, can somebody else think of one? Yes, ma'am.
Hat.
Hats. I'm thinking it starts with H-A-P. Anastasia? Happened. That's exactly right. The word happened and the word happy come from the same old English root word hap, which means good luck. So do you know what happy means? It means good things are happening to me. Whether or not you're happy depends on what happens, right? Does that make sense? So if you get to play, if you get snow, if you get to stay home from school instead of watching me make a snowman outside your school window, you can be happy, right? Yes, ma'am, Issa. Did you forget? That's okay, high five. All right, so we got it. So happy is based on what happens. Joy is the thing inside your heart, even when things are sad. So Jesus was full of joy, but did Jesus ever get sad?
Yeah.
Did Jesus ever cry? Yep, Jesus cried. The shortest verse in the Bible in English is Jesus wept, right? The shortest verse in the Bible in the original language is rejoice evermore. But evermore is a long word in English, and so it takes a lot longer to say. So there's two verses in the Bible. The two shortest verses in the Bible are Jesus wept and always rejoice. Can you weep and always be rejoicing? Like, can you cry and rejoice at the same time? You can, because joy is not about what is happening on the outside. Joy is about the peace of God in your heart. So let me show you guys something here. One of the things what we're talking about for church for the next few weeks is this idea of the fruit of the Spirit. So you guys know about fruit, right? How does fruit work? Where does fruit come from? Kroger, H-E-B? Yes, sir, Thomas.
It comes from trees.
Yeah, that's right, from a plant, from a tree, something like that. Yep, Anastasia. You want to tell me what the fruit of the Spirit is? Okay, go ahead. Yeah? Well, that's 8 out of 9. That's pretty good. Very good. And it's on the screen also. So, but that was good. Yep, she learned that at school. So, fruit comes from a tree. Now, do you have to do something to make a tree make fruit? Not really, right? Yep. If it has water and sunshine, if the tree has the things it needs, it makes fruit automatically, right? So when it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, if the Holy Spirit's in your heart and you're not doing something to stop the fruit from growing, what kind of things are going to happen in your life? Are you going to have love and joy and peace? Is that going to come from you because you're so handsome or pretty? No, who's it going to come from? God, that's right. The Holy Spirit gives us these things, love, joy, peace. And so if I have God on the inside of me, my happiness depends on what happens on the outside of me, right? But my joy depends on having God inside of me. So that means that even if I'm sad, even if something hard happens, even if the bad things happen, I can still have joy because I know that God's still in control and He still loves me and He's still with me. So that's the fruit of the Spirit being joy. Does that make sense, guys? All right, let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and you guys can go to class. Heavenly Father God, oh, we're so grateful that you give us a joy that goes beyond happenstance, that you give us a joy that allows us to have that comfort in the midst of every storm, that the joy we have in our lives is not dependent on the things around us that always change, but it depends on you, the one who never changes, that once we've been saved, that your Spirit's in our heart and it brings joy in us. It's a fruit, so it comes increasing, and we just pray that you'd help us to cultivate that joy and to remove the things that block it, that we would be able to rejoice evermore. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much. You can go off to class. All right. You know, the marker of joy, oh my goodness, okay, let's let the kids get out. Sister Ann Cassidy just texted that they think Brother James just passed away, that the ambulance is on the way, but they don't think that they're going to be able to get there in time. The ambulance made it to the house. They're on the way to Southeast Memorial, but they think it is too late. Let's pray. Is there somebody who volunteered to go over there to the hospital? Okay, Sister Julie. All right, thank you. Sister Julie's going to go and sit with Sister Ann, and I'll let her know I'll be over there as soon as I can. We'll have a short service today. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we are a needy people. We are bound by this flesh and this world. We're bound by our lives that are but a vapor in your sight. Father, we cannot imagine the feelings Sister Ann has right now. We just pray, Lord, that if it is your will that they're able to do something for Brother James, that they will, but we rejoice in the knowledge that he knows you, that he, if this is the time that you're ready for him, that he's safe in your hands, that death has lost its sting because Jesus died on the cross for us, that the power of death is broken, and that we reign and live forevermore. So Lord, I just pray for your comfort and peace that passes all understanding for the Cassidy family. I pray your hand would be on them in a special way. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, you're going to have to give me a second to gather my thoughts. I apologize. We're talking this morning about the fruit of the Spirit, and isn't joy, is the essence of it, right? The essence that in the midst of grief and in the midst of sorrow, that we can know that Jesus reigns, that we can know that he's in control, that we can know that he holds us safe in his hands. You know, I have, as many of you have been in different situations where people were facing difficult times, and you can tell who has joy, right? Not that we don't face sorrow. It said Jesus wept, but Jesus wept with the assurance that he knew that his heavenly Father was working all things together for good. Jesus wept over Lazarus, but he knew he was going to bring Lazarus back. That the Christian life is not a life without sorrow. The Christian life is not a life without pain. But the Christian life is a life of an abiding joy deep beneath the surface. Billy Graham sings that song, "The anchor holds, right? Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn." That there is an anchor deep within us that allows us to have peace no matter what happens. No matter what happens on the surface, we have peace. And Turner, I'm just going to control my slides because I'm going to kind of abbreviate this morning. Okay. Let's look. If you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word as we look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 together. Here's what the Scripture says. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like of which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." And all God's people said, Amen. You and I, as Christians, have got two natures. Right? We've got two natures. We've got our nature of our flesh, right? This sin nature, where we don't do the things that we want to do, that our desires are pulled down by sin and by weakness. And yet, at the same time, we have this joy that goes beyond that. Right, we have our Spirit lifting us up, allowing us to walk with Him, and we, on one side, the Holy Spirit's drawing us to be more and more like Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit's a picture of Jesus, and yet on the other side, our flesh struggles against us, that we are in between the two. And so when we want to walk in joy, we need to know this. A little bit later, just in the very next chapter, Paul says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, so also shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You know, do you want to have the fruit of the Spirit? Do you want to have joy and peace and love and all these things in your life? Do you want to have joy in your life? Well, if you want to have tomatoes, do you know how you get tomatoes? You sow tomatoes. Do you want to have bell peppers? Do you know how you get bell peppers? You sow bell peppers, right? If I say, you know what I really want in my life is joy, and then I sow the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. If I sow those things, am I going to reap joy? Of course not. You know, one of the reasons that many people do not have any joy is that they're trying so hard to be happy, right? They think, I'll be happy if I can have a relationship with this person, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. I'll be happy if I can just party and live it up, lasciviousness, drunkenness, right? I'll be happy if I can put that other person down, envyings, variance, wrath. And you know what? Maybe in the moment, you get your way and you are happy, right? What happens puts a smile on your face. But when you're sowing to the flesh, your flesh gets stronger. And are you going to reap joy when your flesh is in control of your life? Absolutely not. If I'm trying so hard to be happy in the moment, then oftentimes I am sabotaging my spiritual life where I will not have joy when it really counts. Jesus told us, if any man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. Sometimes walking with the Lord means not getting what I want right now. It may mean that right now my life's a little bit harder. But Jesus offers a cross and then a crown. The world offers bait and then a hook. And it's up to you and I to decide, what am I going to sow? Because what I sow is what I'm going to reap. God is not mocked, right? I'm not going to fool God and say, okay, God, I'm going to walk with you. Give me joy, peace, and all these things. And at the same time, my life works in the exact opposite way. So one of the things we want to be aware of is that the fruit of the Spirit is created by God in us. I cannot work it up on my own. But at the same time, I'm going to reap what I sow. It is my responsibility to walk with the Lord, and then he's going to create this in me in increasing ways. Okay, so we're studying the work, the fruit of the Spirit, and we are thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, and each week I want to try to give you a little bit of a different perspective on that. Last week we looked at love, and we said love is the binding fruit that holds everything else we do together. Love is the blinding fruit that makes us overlook the sins of others. Often we can overlook other people's faults and weaknesses because the love we have for them. And love is the building fruit, because sometimes we don't overlook it. We go and say, hey, I want to help you with this. I'm concerned about this going on in your life, right? That love sometimes hurts. The Bible says that the wounds of a friend are faithful, right? That sometimes a friend is the one who's going to come and bring you pain in the short term for the sake of the long term. And again, that's that difference in happiness and joy, isn't it? Nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody likes to have somebody say you're out of line. But if you walk with the Lord, you're glad when somebody does that. It's a great analogy that Dr. Henry Cloud gave in his book Boundaries, that if you go to the dentist and you have a root canal, the dentist will hurt you, but the dentist will not harm you. Right? That root canal is going to make you better, but in the moment it's going to hurt. Now, all that candy you ate to get the cavity, that didn't hurt you, but it did harm you. The world's kind of love, the fruit of this flesh, right, the works of the flesh, will not hurt you, right? Oh, this is so nice. I like this so much. But brothers and sisters, it will harm you. Sometimes the fruit of the Spirit will hurt you. Loving somebody who's mistreated you, going through the dark valley of death, can sting, but it will not harm you, because God's promised that he works all things together for good for those who love him, for the called according to his purpose. So what we're talking about today is joy, and I want to tell you three things about joy. First, joy comes from within, right? Happiness comes from what happens. Joy comes from within. This is simple enough. Proverbs 14:10 says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." You know, have you ever gone somewhere and put on a happy face? The heart knows its own bitterness, right? Other people don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know what's going on in your heart. You can see signs sometimes, but sometimes somebody who looks so happy and so content, and then you find out later that they were just in the deepest pits of depression. And at the same time, there may be somebody who just has a disposition where they're not laughing and giggling and stuff all the time, but actually they've got that anchor of joy deep within them where they're like a cork, you know, whatever tries to knock them down, they pop back up. I can't get in somebody else's heart. Joy comes from the inside. Joy comes from within. Look, he says, "The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish." Now, the word tabernacle, when you think of a tabernacle, you think of the tabernacle, right? In the Old Testament. Maybe if you go to church camp, you think of the big metal building, the auditorium. But actually, the word tabernacle means tent. And it is one of my abiding frustrations that we call the building at church camp a tabernacle, because it's not a tabernacle. Maybe it was a tabernacle at some point, and they built a building. But it's not a tent. A tabernacle is a tent. So he says, the house of the wicked will be overthrown. but the tent of the upright will flourish. It's the same idea, isn't it? The wicked seem happy in the moment. I'm getting everything I want, but it's going to blow away when the wind comes. But the righteous, it's better to be in a tent and be righteous because God is the one who gives us our real meaning. It says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Right? There's a way that seems right to a man. You say, oh, look at how happy they are. I want to do the things they're doing. I want to live like that. But even when they're laughing, their heart is sorrowful because they have no joy. They have no peace. Friends, you can try to anesthetize yourself from the pain of a meaningless life with all kinds of sin and distraction. And it may work for a little while, but it won't last. The only joy that lasts is the joy that Jesus brings. The only hope that lasts is the hope that Jesus brings, because everybody else will let you down. When you and I, our lives will end. None of us will live like this forever. And when we do, all of your stuff is gone. All the things that seem so important are gone, except for your relationship with the Lord. Would you rather be the richest man in the world and go to hell, or the poorest man in the world and spend forever with a joint heir with Jesus in heaven? That's the difference in happiness and joy. Happiness is sickly sweet. Ever chewed gum for a little while, once the flavor was gone, you got that gray, nasty thing in your mouth. It was sweet for a little while, but it's no good anymore. Friend, that's what the world tries to sell us. As they try to sell us flavorings and sweetness, and that's what your own flesh tries to sell you. Say, you'll just be so happy if you could do this. But inside that worm, there's a hook. And so if you're trying to find your joy on the outside, the most you're ever going to find is happiness. And when you're sowing sin to get happiness, you're going to keep reaping from the flesh, and you're not going to have joy. If you want to have real joy, it comes from a relationship with Jesus. And that joy can go deeper than whatever you face. You don't know if you have joy until something hard happens. Right? This is a silly example. This morning, last night while I was gone, Anastasia got a splinter in her finger, and they couldn't get it out. And so this morning, I was trying to get it out. And everybody thinks they're patient until you've been trying to get a splinter out of an 8-year-old's finger for half an hour, right? Like, hold still, right? Like, I'm a very patient, calm, loving, gentle person. Like, I'm about to hold you down, little girl, right? Because we don't know what's there until it gets tested. Right? Everybody can think they're happy until the storm comes. And the storm tells us if it was just happiness or if it was real joy. So joy comes from within. It comes from in our hearts. But beyond that, too, joy comes, this is strange, but from wise speech, or maybe with wise speech. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? That the things that you say reveal your heart. And then if you want to help bring joy to somebody else, you can do it with wise speech. The words of our heart matter. Here's what Jesus said, or here's what Proverbs says, Solomon said, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He that handleth a matter wisely, it's talking about speaking, as we'll see from the context, he that speaks wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Now, this word translated happy here is normally the word blessed. It's not just referring to happiness like we mean. It's joy, right? It's that you have that endurance. Because, Proverbs, this is something I should tell you. Proverbs uses parallelism, so it's like poetry. In English poetry, the words rhyme, right? The roses are red, violets are blue. I don't know. You're so wonderful, and I love you. There it rhymes. Okay, so the English poetry words rhyme. In Hebrew poetry, ideas rhyme. Okay, so the pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Right? Fall, destruction, haughty spirit, pride. The ideas rhyme. Okay, that's called synthetic parallelism. That'll be on the quiz later this week. So this is a case of parallelism. Whoever handleth the matter wisely is parallel to whoso trusteth in the Lord. Shall find good is parallel to happy is he, right? Do you want to know how to deal with situations wisely? You've got to trust the Lord. Now, you may not deal with the situation shrewdly if you trust the Lord, right? Shrewdly may mean, I'm going to figure this out. I've got a scheme. I've got a plan. But real wisdom is saying, I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to leave all the consequences to him. If somebody tells you to do something, and you listen to them, they're responsible for the consequences of that if they're in charge of you. Jesus is in charge. If I do what he tells me to do, he takes full responsibility. And so if I trust in him, I will find good. I will be joyful. And specifically, again, he's talking about speech here, as we can see from the next verse. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. You know, this is so good. The wise in heart will be recognized as wise, right? They'll be identified as prudent because the sweetness of their lips increases learning. The way you speak builds up other people. The wise in heart shall be prudent. Do you want to be respected? I think everybody would rather be respected than disrespected. You want to be respected? What does the Bible say here the way to be respected is? It's to build other people up. Right? With your sweetness of your lips, to build others up, to teach others. And the more you build others up, the better you are. Happiness says war, strife, wrath, conflicts, heresies. I'm going to tear you down to make myself look better. Joy says I'm going to build you up and I'm going to let God deal with the consequences. So if I'm looking at myself, I'm never going to find joy. Joy is one of those weird, weird things where the harder you look for it, the harder it is to find. But if instead, if I say, Lord, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to walk with you, then it comes. So that your speech, the way you talk to other people, the way you talk to yourself, you know, that your speech reveals the nature of your heart. And by revealing the nature of your heart, it brings joy. Look, that's what he says. He says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Jumping down to verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Our life needs a little bit more joy, doesn't it? Our world needs a little bit more joy. And pleasant words can help do that, right? The joy in your heart can help bring joy to others by pointing them to the Lord. Now, of course, we know pleasant words, of course, like we talked about with love last week, does not just mean telling people what they want to hear. Sometimes the pleasant words, the sweet truth of wisdom, is not what somebody wants to hear. If I will not tell you something that's going to upset you, how about I use the same terminology before? If I won't tell you something that's going to hurt you because I don't mind harming you, then I don't love you. I love you liking me. We're all like that sometimes, aren't we? You recognize that in yourself. Sometimes you'd rather somebody like you and get along than say the thing that's going to be for their good. That's not Christian love, though. That's the flesh, right? And we've all got both. None of us are immune. But pleasant words here means the words that come from trusting the Lord, that those are sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Sadness and pain and grief crush our bones, and then the word of God comes and sweetens it. Remember, Jesus is the perfect example. He's our wisdom, 1 Corinthians says. And so if you want to know what this looks like, look at what Jesus did. Jesus didn't always tell people what they wanted to hear, but he always told them what they needed to hear. Jesus didn't cause conflict just for the fun of it, but when conflict was necessary, he wasn't afraid of it either. If you are afraid of conflict or you love conflict, both of those are problems. Both of those actually are pride. I love conflict. I want to go. I want to tell everybody the way things ought to be. That's pride. I hate conflict. I want everybody to be happy with me all the time. I think everybody should be happy with me all the time. That's pride. Humility is to say, I'm going to say what the master tells me to say when he tells me to say it. And that joy in your heart that bleeds out of your lips, that comes from within, from that fellowship with God, is what's going to allow us to do the right things. So don't sow to the flesh, sow to the Spirit. Don't sow to the flesh with your words. Sow to the Spirit with your words. Don't look for the outside for your happiness, for your joy. Look within. Finally, and most importantly, joy comes from walking with God. Look at this. He says in Proverbs 8:32, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children." This is wisdom speaking. So there's this big section in Proverbs where wisdom is the speaker personified, Lady Wisdom. And she says, "Hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not." So wisdom is saying, "Oh, you children, listen to me, and you'll be blessed. You'll be joyful," right? You'll have that enduring peace if you'll listen to me. Wisdom, again, sometimes stings. But he says, "Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not." Have you ever known somebody who refused instruction, like nobody could tell them anything? Not teachable? Have you ever been somebody who was like that? If you think that, no, you've never been somebody who was like that, then I've got a red flag to wave for you, right? But that's you've probably got a pretty bad case of the who me's. The instruction, when you hear instruction and you're wise, you don't reject instruction. It means that you accept that sometimes you're going to get hurt to keep from being harmed. And sometimes if you're going to walk with Jesus, you're not going to walk where you want to go. Jesus goes some unfortunate places. You know, we sang that song a few weeks ago, "Footsteps of Jesus." If they lead over the cold, dark mountain, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak, footsteps of Jesus that make the pathway glow, we will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Brothers and sisters, if you're going to go where Jesus goes, that goes through Gethsemane, that goes to the cross. But you know, when Jesus was on his way to Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, "I am saying these things to you so that my joy may be in you." Jesus, in the shadow of the cross, had joy. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he had joy. Because when we walk with him, that's what counts. Right? When I think about my kids and us going somewhere or whatever, sometimes if they're scared, they just want you to pick them up. You're not changing the situation. You're just being there with them. We don't need God always to change our situation. Sometimes you just need him to pick you up. So, "Lord, I'm going to walk with you." You say, "Well, I just feel so far from God. I don't feel as close to God as I used to." Well, it's a cliche, but you know the question. Who moved? If you want to have joy in your life, it comes from obedience. I think the song we're going to sing in a minute, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Can I have a close relationship with God without obeying him? No, it's always going to put tension between us. So there are so many people, so many Christians who don't have joy because they're living in rebellion. You know, an unjoyful Christian should be an oxymoron, right? Jumbo shrimp. The congressional insight. I don't know. It should be contradictory. But a lot of times we don't have joy because we're not walking where the joy is. If you walk with Jesus, if you walk, you hear instruction, then it's there. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have access to joy. "Look, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, watching at the posts of my doors. And whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death." If you reject wisdom, if you choose to walk in the flesh, to sow to the flesh, do you know who you're hurting? Yourself. You love death. You may not think you love death, but that's what it is. It's got a fancy dress on, looks very nice, but it's death. And it doesn't matter how candy-coated it is. Walking away from God, sin, the wages of sin is always death. As surely as day follows night, the wages of sin is death. And at the same time, though, just as surely, when we find wisdom, when we walk with the Lord, we receive his favor, and we have joy, we have life. Brothers and sisters, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you say, "I want to have joy in my life, But I want to have it without having to admit I'm a sinner and place my trust in Jesus. I can't give it to you. It doesn't exist. You can have happiness for a little while. There's people who will sell you happiness through trips or in bottles, right? There's people who sell you a little bit of peace, but the or a little bit of a veneer of peace, but the longer you sow that, the less joy you're going to have. There's people who will say, well, you could be happy if you just do this. And if we had a little bit better memories, we would remember that every time we believed somebody's sales pitch before, it didn't work. There's only one who satisfies. There's only one who brings peace. There's only one who brings that joy despite what happens, and that is the Lord Jesus. It hurts. You know, it hurts. I'm telling you, you've got to come to the point where you say, sin has me so bound that the only thing that could rescue me was God sending his own son to die in my place. And I need him. I cannot do it on my own. That hurts. That wounds your pride. That wounds your self-righteousness. It hurts you. But it does not harm you because it's the truth. It's the truth that none of us could ever be good enough. You can never be baptized enough times. You can never go to church enough times. You can never do enough good things. You can never quit enough bad things to fix your heart. I can never do those things to fix my heart. The only thing I can do is say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's the prayer he answers every time. Right now, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know for sure that you've been forgiven, all you have to do is ask him, Lord, I know I've sinned. Will you forgive me and save me? And then you'll have the Spirit in your heart, and the Spirit will grow in you. I'm not telling you you'll have zero problems tomorrow. If you've ever grown fruit, it starts out small and sour, and it grows over time. And that you fertilize it, you take care of it, it grows more. You don't, it stalls out. But I'm telling you, you can't have fruit without the root, right? You can't have fruit without that tree. And that's the first step. If you're a believer and you have been sowing to the flesh and wondering why you're not reaping of the Spirit, I want to tell you that now is the time to say, Lord, I want to ask for your forgiveness for the way that I've been sowing to happiness and expecting to reap joy. The way I've been sowing to worldly pleasure and expecting to reap divine peace. Lord, will you forgive me and help me to walk with you? Help change my talk, help change my walk, and help me to trust you. And he will. And you can bear that fruit of the Spirit by his grace. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And as we sing, I'm just going to invite you to come. If you need to trust Jesus as your Savior this morning, don't wait. Don't hesitate. If you know him as your Savior, and you're not walking with that fruit of the Spirit, won't you come and just come, just you and God. Just say, Lord, I know I've been sowing these things. Help me to nurture the fruit of the Spirit instead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we're so grateful that you're the one who lives through us. Oh, I think of your word, that powerful truth that we're crucified with you. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to walk in the Spirit. Not to fight against the flesh, but the more we walk in the Spirit, the more the flesh takes care of itself. So help us to remove the things that keep us from growing in the Spirit, but to prioritize walking with you, to prioritize sowing joy that we can reap it. Change the way we talk, change the way we live, and make us more like your Son, Jesus. If there's anyone who's not saved this morning, I pray right now your Spirit would weigh on them so heavily that they'd feel no choice but to step out and say, I need to be saved. Lord, we know you're ready to forgive for anyone who asks. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you come?